Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Power of Forgiveness podcast. My name is Dwayne Staten, and I want to thank you for tuning in for another episode. This podcast is meant to help those toward the path of forgiveness, for the ones who have been hurt, heartbroken, forever changed by something that was said or done to them, which changed their mindset, the course of their relationships, their future, and even their life in general. With this podcast, I speak about the lessons I've learned from forgiveness, and I give it to you, the audience. Today is the fourth part in a multi-part series called Pain. After speaking with a lot of interviewees, there's a lot of pain that starts the seed of unforgiveness. In this part, we're going to talk about child pain. Yeah, I know we've talked about mom, dad, and sibling. And now I must talk about the children, which is some of us. And for others, you see how your kids have hurt you. Yes, we as children hurt our parents and our siblings. And we have to take a good look at ourselves to see if we played a part in that hurt. I want to bring back up the intriguing question from the previous episodes that author, writer, and managing editor at DesiringGod.org, Marshall Segal, asked. How much of the trouble you have experienced in life do you consciously or unconsciously attribute to your parents or other family members? To things they withheld from you? To lessons they hadn't learned yet? To character flaws in them that haven't changed, to mistakes they made in raising you, to sins they committed against you. I want to ask, how many of us can answer this question honestly? It is a hard one, but it does need to be asked. When I was looking up the role of a child, I found this. Children have the duty of honoring and respecting their mother and father. Children have the duty of obeying their mother and father. Children have the duty of listening to the counsel of their mother and father. Children have the duty of caring for their mother and father in their old age. Where there have been failure and breaches, children have the duty of understanding and forgiving their mother and their father. For some of us, we've done these things. Others, we have fallen short. Now, for the last one where it says where there's been failures and breaches, children have the duty of understanding and forgiving their mother and father. And that's something that I've spoken about in the previous episodes about mother pain and father pain. A friend of mine, Tamara Grace, said that for her, she took the word mom out of it. And she just looked at who her mother was at that time. She was a young mom who didn't want to tell her parents. And she just looked at her in that lens. How many of us can do that? Look at our parents and take mother and father out of it. And just look at them as people or where they came from. How they were raised. I know it's hard, but we have to understand and forgive our parents. They're not perfect. And as high as standards we put on them, they fall short. But they do everything they can with what they have. So I ask that you please understand and forgive your mother and father. I was trying to find stories of where parents would forgive their children. I, honestly, the perfect one came up. The prodigal son. Found in the book of Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. The story of the prodigal son is a great encouragement to all godly parents with wayward children. So to give a quick summarization, the father had two sons, and the younger son said, I want a share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to it. So he squandered his money in wild living. He was living it up, partying, probably getting women. I don't know what else he was doing, but he squandered all of his money, and a famine came. And he began to starve. He persuaded a farmer to hire him, and the farmer sent him in the fields to feed the pigs. And the young son became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs with looked good, and no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, I know even at my house, even the hired servants have enough food to spare, and I'm about to die of hunger. I'm going to go home. I'm going to tell my dead father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he went home. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to his servants, Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For the son of mine was dead, and now he has returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. I want to ask, what made the young son want to get away from his dad so much? It didn't matter because the father was just glad his son came home. I dare say that the father of the young man in our story prayed daily for his son. One day he looked down at the road, and when he saw his precious son return to him, he wept. And that he just ran to him, embraced him, and he kissed him. For this godly father, forgiving his child was easy to do. It didn't matter if the young man smelled or looked bad, because remember, he was hanging with them pigs. This father took no thought about what the neighbors might say. He immediately acted as though the child had not broken his heart and restored him to right standing with the family. For all the parents out there, your kids are going to mess up. Your kids are going to want to live their own life, do their own thing. Or as my Pastor Jenkins said, they smell themselves a little bit and they want to do what they want to do. And it's going to hurt. It's going to suck. It's going to be painful. It's going to make you angry. It's going to make you fearful. But you got to forgive them. It's hard. You love them, of course. Family life coach Belinda Letchford asked, what does it look like to forgive your child? As I pondered this question, this verse came to mind. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. When we forgive our children, we get rid of bitterness, get rid of anger, and we watch our tongue. It's medically proven that unforgiveness can cause sickness such as heart disease, cancer, and strokes. And then when we have these diseases in our physical body, our body doesn't function as it was designed to. The same happens to our relationships when we have unforgiveness in our heart. Our family won't function as it was designed to. Do you get annoyed at the repetitive nature of your children's misdeeds? Do you get snarky at having to tell them over and over and over and over and over again? Do you remind them that you've already been here and they should have got it by now? Do you react to a situation because you have expected them to have done the wrong thing again, even without really knowing? When we forgive our children, we will be kind, compassionate, and remember that Christ forgave us. Yes, your child has done wrong. Remember, we were children. We've done wrong. Even as adults, we do wrong. And just think, our parent, our Heavenly Father, we've done wrong against him every day. So if God can forgive us, we can forgive our children. The Bible says in Exodus 20:12, honor your mother and father, then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. For all children, do that. Listen to your parents. Honor your parents. Do what they tell you to do. There are times where you don't understand it, but obey it. Now, if it's anything illegal, immoral, or unscriptural, yeah, let's not do that. If they say, go take out the trash right now, go take out the trash. That's not bad. But if they tell you to do something that goes against your conscience, your spirit, hypothetically, they could say, go take that money out of your aunt's purse. Nah. That's when you can go in the opposite direction. Now, before you let your mind race down the path of you don't know what my child has done, you're right. I don't know. I'm not a parent yet. But I do know that it hurt. I know that it left you angry, bitter, and it's hurting you and possibly your relationships. As author, blogger, and speaker Erin Davis says, she knows that three verses we got to keep. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bearing with one another, and if one has complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves. Believe it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Be angry. I'm sorry, that was Romans chapter 12, verses 17 to 21. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Book of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26, 27, and 31. Breaking down these verses, Jesus asks us to forgive others because he has forgiven us. It's God's job to right wrongs, not ours. He asks us to do everything in our power to live in peace with others. If we refuse to deal with our anger, bitterness, rage, harsh words, backstabbing, and grudges, this gives Satan a foothold in our lives. As I said before, that's blood in the water. Satan will find this blood in the water, he'll smell it, and attack. Again, the enemy prowls around like a lion seeking whom he can devour. Don't bleed in the water. I want to give you a couple things to think about. I want you, when it comes to your child hurting you, make a connection of empathy. If a child hurts you by his or her actions, it's important to tell them. Be open. Respect your child's choices. Your grown child may make certain choices that do not resonate with your expectations. For example, drugs, crime, joblessness, recklessness, and a don't care attitude that can be very hurtful to most parents. You can try to help your child out of these situations, but sometimes your child may resist all efforts to help or rescue him or her. If you tried your very best and your child has chosen this path, the best you can do is allow them to pursue it. This can be a great source of grief for many families, but when you come to the realization that your older children need a sense of individuality from their parents, you can forgive their actions and let them face their own consequences. Be the parent. When your child hurts you, whether a toddler, schoolgoer, or teen, do you sulk at them? Make them feel guilty? Stop talking to them? It's easy to wallow in the feelings of resentment, anger, and hurt. But you must realize that you are the bigger person. You are the parent, and you must act as such. You cannot ration love and care just because a child has hurt you. If you feel anger, take some time out. Engage in an activity that will distract you, and then come back to the situation. Speak to your child about their actions and how it affected you. Whether or not they show empathy, you need to see your child as one who does require empathy. All along, do not stop teaching your child how to develop a sense of empathy and consideration for other people's feelings. Keep the communication lines open. In times of hurt, do not lock your child out. In your deliberate effort to forgive them, let them know that they can talk to you and that you're ready to listen. It's easy to stop talking to and with your child when you feel hurt, but keeping the lines of communication open can, in fact, help your child develop a sense of empathy and an understanding of their actions. It also makes them loved. It makes them feel loved. Communication does not mean constant apologizing. It means talking about things that are affecting both you and your child and anything else that comes up. Getting things to normal. As you forgive your child and try to heal your relationship, make an effort to get things back to normal. If you ate lunch as a family 3 days a week, continue to do this. If you used to pack lunch for your 13-year-old before the hurtful incident, get back to doing this for them. Trying to get things back to normal is not denial. After all, at this point, you have dealt with the issues at hand. You have forgiven and you are now healing your relationship. Getting things back to normal is one of the best ways of not dwelling on the past. When a child is first born, he or she is most often welcomed into love, joy, and excitement. But as time progresses and in spite of all that the parents may do, sometimes that child proves to be a disappointment. He or she may get into trouble with the law and wind up in jail or prison, get pregnant out of wedlock, get into drugs or alcohol, or become rebellious and do unthinkable things like curse the parents out. This is heartbreak that can be hurtful for godly parents. What fear and pain for the child's future this negative behavior can bring to their hearts. But be encouraged, parents, and trust God to change the situation. When God answers our prayers and returns a repentant child to us, it's important to forgive them. Welcome the child back into the family circle and love them, even with all the scars, bruises, and pain that life has dealt them. This should not be a hard thing to do. When you reflect on how God welcomed you back into his bosom, he forgave you, wiped your tears away, and treated you as though your sins had never happened. Your child will need your strength to get back on his or her feet again after messing up. Forgive them, love them, and help them to the best of your ability. I want to pray for you. Father, although my child has broken my heart in the past, help me to forgive them and love them in the way that you forgave me. Thank you for answering my prayer for their restoration to the family and to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need that prayer, it's going to be right here. Just rewind. We as children mess up. Parents mess up. Siblings mess up. Families mess up. We're not perfect, but we serve a God who is. He forgave us. It's time for us to forgive one another. Parents, forgive your children. Children, forgive your parents. Forgive your siblings. Is it hard? Yes. Is it necessary? Most definitely. But I'm telling you right now, it's worth it. I know that there are times where we don't have the strength to forgive those who have hurt us, to do what it takes in this episode, and more. We can only do these things with the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins to be forgiven in the past, present, and future. and he rose from the grave to give us eternal life, a relationship with God himself, power over sin, and power over the enemy. If you want Jesus Christ in your life, just pray this. Dear Lord, thank you for dying for my sins and my wrongdoings in the past, present, and future. I confess and believe that you died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. I give my life to you, Lord. Please come to my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. If you pray that prayer, I want to say welcome to the family. This is the best decision you could ever make in your life. Now that you've made this decision, get in a good Bible-teaching church who preaches the gospel and message of Jesus Christ. You can look on Google, social media, and ask family and friends for recommendations. Also, there may have been some things said in this episode that may have triggered some bad memories and bad feelings. If this is the case, please seek a licensed therapist to talk them out. You can go through your healthcare provider, Google, or ask family and friends who receive therapy for recommendations. I want to thank you for listening to another episode of the Power of Forgiveness podcast. If you like this podcast, please subscribe, rate it on all platforms, and most importantly, share this with other people. You never know what they're going through. I want to let you know that the Power of Forgiveness has a group page on Facebook. Join the group and get in on the conversation. That link is in the show notes. I also have my social media page in the show notes. You can follow me on both Instagram and Facebook. You can also leave me a voice message on Anchor. I would love to hear from you. Also, I need your help. I'm enrolled in a coaching program through my local college pursuing a certification in life coaching with the International Coach Federation. As part of the curriculum, I need to reach 100 hours in order to become certified. I'm hoping to connect with individuals who have an interest in being coached and move the needle in their life or needing help in forgiving those who have hurt them. Many people have an interest in moving from where they are to where they want to be, and coaching can be the key that unlocks that potential. I'm asking if you or anyone you know might benefit from coaching to please contact me. I would be happy to chat more about it and be grateful for the help it provides to further my qualification. Also, the first session is free. If you're interested and want to help, click on the link in my bio and schedule a session. I want you all to have an amazing week, and remember that forgiveness is not letting what that person or people said or did to you affect you, your spirit, your future, or where you're going in life. And that's not an excuse for or enabling someone's behavior, but not letting what that person or people did hold you back or keep you from being or grabbing all that God wants you to be or has for you. Have a good one.